Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm Drew Gretsch. Today, this is News Catch-Up and Ms. Marvel Season 1, Episode 2, because guess what? I've been sick, couldn't get anyone to the show this weekend, so Ms. Marvel is dropping tonight, so I have to get this done. Season 1, Episode number 2, Crushed. What was the synopsis for this episode? I watched it like 4 times because I was sick, and I love this show. Let's just get in Disney Plus so we can pull up the official synopsis for the episode. Alright. Investigating the source of her newfound powers, Kamala and Bruno explore what she can do with her abilities. But Kamala becomes distracted from her superhero training when she meets Kamran, the new kid at school. Her powers will be put to the test when she's confronted with a perilous situation, and she's the only one who can help. So yeah. We are going to be talking about all that in the second part of the show today. The first part of the show is all the Marvel news from the last couple weeks, I think. Yeah, so also, I mean, I'm not sure if you guys have been watching The Boys, but we did drop the other week in the feed. I did a review for the first 4 episodes of Season 3. Episode 5 is out now. We haven't done a podcast for yet. I'm going to wait until these last 4 episodes are out. And episode 5 I thought was great. I thought it was the weakest episode of the season so far, but, I mean, I thought the first 4 episodes were utterly fantastic, and I still really did like the episode, episode 5. Can't wait for episode 6. For those of you who do watch The Boys and have been following social media about the show, you know why. You know why Friday, June 24th is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen in television before, or film. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen in entertainment. It's going to be, hopefully, it's going to be as earth-shattering as Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 9, The Reigns of Castamere. Of course, The Red Wedding. So hopefully it's like that. But starting off with news, Kevin Feige was talking to Total Film, the other day, and he said, he says, as we're nearing the end of Phase 4, I think people will start to see where this next saga is going. I think there have been many clues already that are at least apparent to me of where this whole saga is going, but we'll be a little more direct about that in the coming months to set a plan so audience who want to see the bigger picture can see a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more of the roadmap. You guys know, I've been saying on this podcast for a while, I don't know where the MCU is going right now, right? I mean, the first 3 phases, we knew where they were going, right? I mean, Phase 1 is very clear. We're building up to the Avengers. Phase 2 was a little bit more, it got some great movies in there, like The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy. I personally really enjoy Iron Man 3, and I think that Thor 2 is alright. I think it's an alright movie. You didn't really get, like, a sense of where Phase 2 was going. It just felt more like random movies, and then we got, I mean, again, some of them were great, but they're more like random movies, and then we just got Avengers Age of Ultron. And Phase 3 was very clear. It was, everything is building toward Infinity War and Endgame. And then Phase 4 has just been all over the place. Like, we have this, like, there's so much happening in the MCU right now. Like, I mean, you have all these multiversal shenanigans, right? You have the Power Broker. You have Sharon Carter from Falcon Winter Soldier. You have the Ten Rings plot thread. You have, I mean, the creator of the universe, Arishem the Judge, just showed up at the end of Eternals and was like, I will return for judgment. And then you have all these gods. You have all this stuff with the gods. Like, Eternals touched on. That Moon Knight was heavily involved with. And I think in Thor 4 we are going to get to see with, like, a very clear picture of the gods. You know, like, what is up with the gods? Because, of course, we have Gore the God Butcher. Which, by the way, Thor 4 is out in, like, 2 weeks. I cannot wait for that movie. Cannot wait for it. So, yeah, I mean, what this tells me, and again, this is not a good thing. I'm a little bit tired of multiverse. I'm a bit tired of multiverse. And I don't know if that's just because we got Loki and What If and No Way Home and Multiverse of Madness in the span of like 11 months. But, I mean, I'm a little bit tired of multiverse. And again, I really enjoyed Multiverse of Madness. But, I mean, we can check my Letterboxd ranking, but I don't think this movie I have in my top 10 for the MCU. Let's see. Let's actually look at my MCU ranking right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, Multiverse of Madness is not my top 10. Not my top 10. And, I mean, there are two Disney Plus shows in my top 10 with WandaVision and Moon Knight. But even then, my next two movies after that, that would be numbers 9 and 10 are Black Widow and Avengers 1. That's right, Black Widow is up there because I love that movie. I think it is fantastic. Love Black Widow. And I don't care what you say, you will not detract my enjoyment of the Black Widow film. I think it's great. So, yeah, I mean, I think looking at what we have left this year. So in terms of what we have left for the MCU this year, we have 4 more episodes of Ms. Marvel, and I don't think that Ms. Marvel's going to give us a big hint as to where the MCU is going. I think Ms. Marvel is there to set up Captain Marvel 2. I think that's why the show is here. And again, I'm really enjoying this show. I'm really enjoying this show for these first episodes. I mean, it may go to complete hell for these last 4, as we've seen happen in Disney Plus shows before. Not absolute hell. I mean, but we've had Disney Plus shows. I mean, the number one that comes to mind was Falcon Winter Soldier that started off really strong and just, like, that finale was good, but it could have been a lot better. But we have, so still left for this year, we have Thor 4, we have, so that's July 8th, August 10th, I think we're gonna get our biggest look with I Am Groot. I'm just kidding, I don't even know if I Am Groot is canon, but still, it's from Marvel Studios. We on August 17th, we have She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which maybe there will be some sort of tiny little subtle clues in there as to where the MCU is going. Like, maybe Bruce Banner mentioned something about the Ten Rings, you know? Honestly, that's the plot thread that I want to see continue, like, the soonest. Either that one or the stuff at the end of Eternals. Because those two, to me, are the most interesting. Was the Ten Rings and Arishem. So then after She-Hulk, we have Werewolf by Night, then we have Black Panther, and Werewolf by Night's in October, but we don't have a set date for that yet. November 11th, we're getting Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and then sometime in December, we're getting the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, and then sometime this year, we're getting What If, season 2. But, and then there was also, I think officially Secret Invasion is still on the schedule for this year, but there were rumors that was pushed back to January. So, yeah. But, I mean, the other thing Kevin Feige said in there was, we are nearing the end of Phase 4. I actually think we're about halfway through Phase 4. I think Phase 4 is supposed to go till the end of next year. I think it's supposed to be 2021, 22, and 23. So, Yeah, and then beyond that, for next year, we have Secret Invasion sometime. We have, in February, we're getting Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. In May, we're getting Guardians 3. July is the Marvels. Then we have an undated movie for November 3rd of 2023. I don't know anything official on that, but I'm just going to guess that's Blade. Because Blade, it seems, is the movie that's the furthest along in development. I think we actually have a day that production is supposed to start for the Blade movie. Do we actually even know? I remember that was a thing. Blade MCU. I know it's supposed to start filming soon. I should have known this sooner. Yeah, it seems like it's going to start shooting on July 4th on Independence Day. And this according to production list, which is very accurate most of the time. So, yeah. Blade, I mean, to me, that says that the Blade movie is coming out November of next year. And in terms of Disney Plus, beyond that, I know there are some things that just started filming. Echo's been filming for, I think, like a month now, so that's next year. Loki Season 2 is shooting now, that's next year then. And I think Ironheart just started production. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Ironheart did just start filming. I believe. Let me check on that. Ironheart. Yeah, Ironheart is filming. And then still in pre-production, we have Armor Wars. And that's the only one. Agatha House of Harkness is in development right now, as is the Nova series, as is the Daredevil series, as in another series we're going to be talking about soon. And then also the Wakanda show, which we first heard about a year and a half ago, and there's been no update on that since. So, I wonder if that show's even still happening. I mean, I'm feeling that, like, we'll start to get some updates on this new Wakanda series, this Black Panther spinoff, after the release of Black Panther 2 this November. Which, by the way, where's the trailer for that? I feel that in the next week and a half or so, we are going to get a trailer, because they're going to want a trailer to put alongside Love and Thunder. They usually do that, like, Marvel movies typically drop new trailers within a week or so. Like, on either side, it's usually like a week before or a week after. Recently, it's been a week before new movies come out so that they have something to, like, debut along with it. Like, I remember, notably, I think in the same week before Shang-Chi, we got a trailer for The Eternals and a trailer for No Way Home. So, yeah, but then, I mean, the No Way Home trailer dropped like a week and a half after Eternals came out. But then again, Spider-Man, you don't need to attach to Eternals for it to make all of the money. But yeah, so that's, for the rest of that, it looks like that is the rest of Phase 4. So it looks like things that have been announced that are going to be in Phase 5. It looks like, so that's 2024, we have dates for February 16th, May 3rd, July 26th, and November 8th, all for 2024. So, I have not heard any confirmation, no one's told me this, no one has told me this, I have to clarify that. I'm pulling these projects out of my ass, but all four of these movies have been confirmed by Marvel. Now, well, they've been reported by sources that are very reliable, like Deadline or Hollywood Reporter or like Variety. So those films are Fantastic Four, Shang-Chi 2, Deadpool 3, and Captain America 4. So here are the movies that I think correspond with those dates. I think February 16th, 2024 is going to be Deadpool 3. We've been hearing a lot of updates on Deadpool recently, which tells me they're getting ready to start filming. I actually think we had an update on that pretty recently, that they're getting ready to start shooting that movie. So it looks like Deadpool 3 is moving forward right now with Marvel. We already knew that, but they are, like, the wheels are going on Deadpool. So it looks like we're getting that. That's going to be the first film of Phase 5. I think May 3rd of 2024, I think that's probably going to be Captain America 4. I think it's going to be Cap 4 because, I mean, at that point, it will have been 3 years since, like, I think, like, to the week or something since the finale of Falcon Winter Soldier. So, you know, 3 years, that's good time. And that's still, I think, like, 23 months away. So they have a lot of time there to sort of get Cap 4 off the ground and that project moving. I think that the July 26th date, I think that's probably Shang-Chi 2. I feel like that's going to be Shang-Chi 2, which, man, I can't wait for Shang-Chi 2. I'm really excited for that movie. I love the first film. I watched again this weekend when I was sick. Man, that movie's freaking unbelievable. It's incredible. And then the one for November 8th, 2024, which will be the first MCU movie that I see when I'm away at college, which is crazy to think about. On November 8th, 2024, I think that's going to be Fantastic Four. I did originally have that at the November 3rd, 2023 spot, but then John Watts left like a month or so ago. So with that news, I'm like, all right, they don't have a director yet. I mean, all these other films have directors. I feel like Cap 4 has a director. Is there a director attached to that movie? Is there a director attached to Captain America 4? Yeah, we do. Carrie Skoglund. So, yeah, it looks like, I mean, she was the director of the Falcon Winter Soldier, so it makes sense that she's going to be directing Captain America 4 and just see that story continue. So, yeah. Fantastic Four is the only one that has no director. So that is the reason why I'm putting it as the last one to come out. And I know that it is definitely, including Higgins, for a lot of people, that's their most anticipated MCU movie right now, is Fantastic Four. And seeing how they all come in. And then movies in 2025 are like The Mutants, which we know is coming. Maybe another Avengers movie. Hopefully another Avengers movie. I hope so. And then for shows for Phase 5 that we already know about, it looks like we're going to be getting. Looks like probably Armor Wars is maybe a late 2023, which could put it in Phase 4, maybe. Or it could help kick us off with Phase 5. Looks like, I think this Wakanda series is definitely Phase 5. Agatha House of Harkness, I think, is going to be Phase 5. I'm not going to really speak on Spider-Man Freshman Year or Marvel Zombies because we don't really know what stage of development that those are in. Like, we don't know, like, how far along they are into those. Like, are they still writing scripts? Are they casting? Have they started recording those shows? Because they are both animated. So that's another thing that we just don't know, is if these two new animated series are coming out next year or if they're going to be pushed to Phase 5. So yeah, I mean, still, there's so much Marvel. So much Marvel. And it looks like there's even more Marvel coming than we thought there would be. Well, I guess it's always true, but there is more Marvel coming than we knew about. I alluded to this earlier, but The Hollywood Reporter has revealed, so we knew a few months ago that Destin Daniel Cretton, the director of Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, had signed a deal with Marvel Studios to not only write and direct Shang-Chi 2, but to also do a new Marvel series for Disney Plus, which I thought was going to be a new Shang-Chi spinoff series, probably focusing on the Ten Rings. But that, it looks like that's not the case, because it looks like instead they're moving forward with a Wonder Man series. The Shang-Chi filmmaker is teaming with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is one of the funniest shows ever, and Community Scribe. I've not seen this show. Andrew Guest, who will serve as the head writer. So we have head writer Andrew Guest, and then director Dustin Daniel Cretton. Wonder Man is the latest Marvel superhero to get the screen treatment. Shang-Chi filmmaker Dustin Daniel Cretton has teamed up with Andrew Guest, a writer-producer on comedies such as Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Community, to tackle a live-action series featuring the longtime Marvel character. Guest will serve as head writer of the series, while Cretton will executive produce and possibly direct an episode or more. So I misspoke earlier. It looks like he's just executive producing, and maybe he'll direct an episode or two. Cretton is working via his overall deal with Marvel Studios, signed late last year in the glow of Shang-Chi's success. The two will also act as co-creators for the series. Development for what is being titled Wonder Man is in the early stages, but if things crackle, cameras could be rolling in 2023. So yeah, I mean, if it starts filming in 2023, then it's definitely Phase 5. They go on to give us a little bit of the backstory of Wonder Man, which I'm not that familiar with the backstory of Wonder Man. Wonder Man is one of Marvel's oldest characters, first introduced in 1964 in the pages of Avengers number 9. He was initially a villain and only appeared sporadically in the early Marvel age, but was reconceived as a hero and Avenger in the late 70s. In the 80s, the character really came into his own. Known as Simon Williams, he was a founding member of the LA-based West Coast Avengers and, with a look that included a turtleneck, a red jacket, and sunglasses, became a celebrity thanks to his day job as an actor and stuntman. The character also developed strong ties to classic and now, thanks to Marvel movies and an Emmy-winning series, globally known, characters Vision and Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. Stories tied him to the android via ionic energy and brainwaves that implied that the two were akin to brothers. Wonder Man even developed feelings for Wanda after Vision had been dismantled. So this could maybe be the next time we see Wanda Maximoff is in this Wonder Man series. We're maybe after the events of it's on Disney Plus tonight, so I can't really say this theory just yet. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it down because it could give some spoilers for Multiverse of Madness. And again, our spoiler policy for new movies is we do not talk about them without the spoiler warning until they're up on Disney Plus, or in the case of Sony movies, like No Way Home, like Venom 2, like Morbius, until they're up on like the digital platforms like iTunes or Amazon or like Vudu. So Multiverse Madness is actually out on Disney Plus tonight, so after you watch Ms. Marvel and Kenobi tomorrow, which by the way, tonight's also the Kenobi finale, and right after this I'm recording the Kenobi Part 5 review, because again, I couldn't record that either because I was sick. But yeah, that's also coming out tonight, so yeah. Again, I'm sorry for not having the podcast up until the night before. What I'm going to do tomorrow is, like, I'm going to watch the episode, going to watch Kenobi, because how I watch these shows now that we're getting Marvel and Star Wars shows on the same day, which this is the last week that's going to happen until, like, August 31st, which is sad. But what I do is, because with the Tuscan Radio podcast, we have the, we do instant takes and full review shows like this one. We do the instant takes on Wednesdays, and then Fridays are supposed to be the full review of the episode. So I don't want to like rush that instant take to get to like Ms. Marvel. So that's why I watch Marvel shows first, is just because I want to have that time with the instant take, so it's not like rushed like 4 or 5 minutes, which is, they're not that long anyway, but still. Yeah, Multiverse Madness on Disney Plus tonight, so I can't really talk about the movie in spoilers yet. Which is, yeah, this could be where Wanda goes after that movie comes, after that movie. Alright, takes on the character for the Disney Plus series were not revealed. Marvel could steer Wonder Man down a Hollywood lane so far unexplored in the MCU. Or it could set him up in the WandaVision lane, something the company has continued to explore with its latest blockbuster, Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness. There is even a WandaVision spinoff show in development featuring Agatha Harkness, the villain played by Katherine Hahn. Yeah, so that's what it is. That's the new Wonder Man series, which is coming out probably in, like, 2 years. I mean, it depends on, like, when in 2023 they start filming. If they start shooting in January, then we could see it maybe even coming out next year in, like, December. But if they start shooting in, like, August, September, October, then it's then we're probably looking at, like, a late 2024 or an early 2025 release date for Wonder Man. But you know what? Another thing that I did this weekend when I was sick, because I finished my first time binge through Game of Thrones. By the way, I love Game of Thrones. I can't wait for House of the Dragon. Also, I don't hate the final season of Game of Thrones. I think the last two episodes are rushed as hell. I thought the first two episodes of Game of Thrones season 8 are probably some of the best episodes of the whole show, just because I love, like, watching these characters, like, meet for the first time and stuff. It felt like an Avengers movie, or it felt like No Way Home, where you've watched these characters for, I mean, in the case of people who were watching shows that was coming out, you see for over the course of years, and you're watching them all come together for the first time. Also, I'm going on a little bit of a Game of Thrones tangent right now. In terms of the Night King, I watched the show in about a month or so, or like a month and a half. So, like, I didn't really have built up expectations for the White Walkers, so that didn't really bother me as much. Anyway, I rewatched all 5 of the Disney Plus shows. I rewatched WandaVision, I rewatched The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye, and Moon Knight. And while I think WandaVision is still the best of the bunch, while I think that these other shows need more episodes, and when I say that they need more episodes, I'm not just saying, because I'm a fan, I want more Marvel content. What I'm saying is that these are shows that never really, like, know what they want to do because they're confined to only 6 episodes. But you know what? I actually really enjoyed all of them. I actually really enjoyed all these shows. I even enjoyed Hawkeye a lot more than I thought I was going to. And that's my second binge through of Hawkeye since it wrapped up. But yeah, I actually thought that they were all really solid. And I had just rewatched WandaVision and Loki like a month and a half ago or so, before Doctor Strange came out. And yeah, and I did. Like, I did, like, really enjoy it. I was really into the story of the series. So yeah. I think that it just takes time, honestly. I mean, I think that I'm actually a big fan of all of the Disney Plus shows for Marvel and for Star Wars, actually. So I think that they're doing a great job. Again, just more episodes. Just seriously, just more episodes. And man, it would just be so much better. It really would. They would be so much better if they just got more episodes. They had their room to breathe. I'm actually really happy that She-Hulk is going to be 9 episodes. So, I mean, 9 episodes, it's really going to be fleshed out. Hopefully, at least. And I also think that She-Hulk's a show that could get a season 2, unlike a WandaVision or a Moon Knight. I actually don't want a Moon Knight season 2. Because I think that Moon Knight ended really well, and it was a really fascinating just like character study. And I personally feel as though a second season could potentially maybe somehow discredit some of that. You know? Sort of in the same way that I'm not terribly big on the idea of Joker Folia Do, right? Like, I'm not talking about the fact that it's a musical. I'm actually really excited that it's a musical, because when people hear musical, they think Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. They think Lion King. They think, like, Aladdin. They think of Disney. But what you should be thinking of for Joker Folia Do is stuff like La La Land, stuff like A Star Is Born, because, you know, Lady Gaga is playing Harley Quinn in this movie. It's not Margot Robbie, as much as I love the Margot Robbie Harley Quinn. That is not a character that fits in this universe, right? That's not, like, you can't have Margot Robbie in this universe. It just doesn't work with what the first film had established. So yeah, that's just my take on that. All right, we got super off topic. Time to talk about Ms. Marvel. Episode 2 crushed. So I'm just gonna get into full spoilers. First off, I really enjoyed the Kingo reference. You guys know, I'm a big fan of Phase 4. Big fan of Phase 4. I'm a big fan of all of it. Again, Hawkeye, I still think is the weakest of the Disney Plus shows, but I enjoyed all of these shows a whole lot more this time around. But I'm still a big fan of all of them. But I thought Eternals was... I actually think Eternals is really great on a rewatch, particularly on streaming when you don't have to pay for it. So, yeah. Loved the Kingo shout-out. I remember there was a set video that leaked from the Guardians holiday special of, like, Drax and Mantis walking around Hollywood Boulevard, which I cannot wait to see what all that's about. Can't wait to see what that's about. And they pass a, like, a movie poster, and on it is Kingo. And it's like a Kingo James Bond thing, I think. It's been a while since I've seen this video. But I thought really was very, very funny. So, yeah, loved that a whole freaking lot. So, just, like, getting down into the meat of this episode. And look, this is not a show that has a ton of meat on its bones. I'm going to say that. This is not a show where, you know, if someone told me that they were skipping Ms. Marvel, like, Hagen did not like the first episode of Ms. Marvel, and I think that he's out. And I don't blame him. Again, I love this show. If this is a show that you don't like, I'm sorry for you, I guess. I mean, and it's in the same way that if you love a movie or show that I hate, I hate The Rise of Skywalker. If you love that movie, that's awesome. I wish I could love it. I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous of you if you love the movie. So, but yeah, this is just not a show that I think is essential viewing for the MCU. It's a show that you can skip if you're not digging it. And I think with most of these shows, we'll see how it goes from here. Because I was actually really surprised with how much, like, Multiverse Madness, like, no. You needed to watch WandaVision. You needed to watch that show. That really surprised me with how they went there. I didn't think that they would, but they did. I really enjoyed it. It made the universe feel more connected because they finally were, like, not just addressing the shows that existed before, like, having Matt Murdock pop up in No Way Home, having Jarvis from Agent Carter in Endgame, having Wilson Fisk pop up in Hawkeye, or the Darkhold in WandaVision and in Multiverse of Madness. Spoilers for Multiverse of Madness for this next one. Black Bolt from Inhumans showing up. It wasn't like that. Like, WandaVision, you needed to watch that show. You needed to watch that to understand what the hell is going on in Doctor Strange 2. So, again, love that. Love that so much. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. So anyway, the real, like, meat and potatoes of this episode, the real, like, part of this episode was, the great grandmother Aisha, was that whole thing. And I mean, like, Oh my god, like, she's alive? Like, what? She's alive, she's, like, Kamran is her son, it appears. Which, by the way, I loved the scene where the older brother, like, saw Kamala and Kamran, what was his name? What was the brother's name? Amir. When Amir and his fiance find the two of them in the cafe, and Kamala's just like, no, he's our cousin, you remember? And then he, like, makes up the story, like, oh yeah, I remember you, and he goes into this, like, makes up imaginary details and things, and I'm watching this, I'm like, you know what? This is something I would do. Because I really have no idea who my 12th cousin four times removed is. My parents do, and they expect me to remember them. I don't know why, but, yeah, so this is something I would do, and I love that. Like, that's another thing that I feel like this show is really showing everyone, me especially, is that representation is more than seeing someone who's the same race as you. It's more than seeing someone who's the same gender, the same sexual orientation. You guys know it. I talked about this when it happened. It's the middle of Pride Month. Like, when I saw Eternals in theaters, when there's that beautiful scene of Fausto saying goodbye to his husband and his daughter. No, his son, not daughter. And he kissed his husband, and I got emotional there because that was right after I had come out as bisexual, and I, like, right out, like, I was seeing someone like me in a Marvel movie, you know, and that's great. But it goes more than that, because I feel more represented by this show, by Ms. Marvel, than I did by Eternals, than I did by Spider-Man Homecoming, with Peter Parker being the nerdy kid at school with no friends, you know. But what representation is more than that? And this is just my opinion. And obviously, like, the same, like, someone who looks like you, who, like, that is the essentials of representation. That's why I started with that own anecdote about me and Eternals. But it goes beyond that, because I'm seeing this girl in Kamala Khan. I'm seeing her interact with her family the same way that I interact with my family. I'm seeing her and her best friend talking about Marvel. They are Marvel fans living in the MCU. And I think it's hilarious. I think it's wonderful. And I really love that about this show. And there's just so much that, like, this, the high school experience that we're seeing in Ms. Marvel is so incredibly accurate. It's accurate. I have friends of mine, and I've seen them, like, react to, like, boys and stuff the same way that Kamala did to Kamara. Like, I've seen that before. And that's just one of the reasons why I love this show so much. It's just so incredibly, it's just, and you guys know, I went into this show with no expectations whatsoever. I had no expectations. I'm like, the trailer didn't really wow me, but I'm going to give it a fair shot. And even without this pod, and even without the podcast, I think I would be watching Ms. Marvel before Kenobi. And I'm really digging Kenobi, but man, I love Ms. Marvel. I love this show. And I don't want to just, like, beat I feel like I'm beating a dead horse with just saying, like, just the continued praise for this series. Yeah, I mean, love everything about this episode. I think my favorite part, though, was the Illuminantes, like, especially coming off of Multiverse of Madness, where this was in the trailers. So, like, I mean, and after a movie comes out, like, I'm fully, like, out of, like, spoiler mode for trailers. I'm not gonna talk about the big things in the movie with, like, until it's on stream, but in terms of, like, stuff in the trailers, I'm gonna talk about that freely. And especially because the movie's been out for, like, 45 days now, because it's on Disney Plus tomorrow. You know, because we saw the Illuminati in Multiverse Madness, and again, they put some of these characters in trailers, like Black Bolt, we got Captain Carter, and the, Maria Rambeau, Captain Marvel, and obviously Patrick Stewart, there's Mordo, and there was the one other character that they didn't put in any of the marketing that I therefore cannot mention. But he got turned into spaghetti. So, yeah, and the other thing in this episode, okay. The other thing in this episode that I really, really loved was we got Kamala's Save the Cat moment. This is going to be something that I do from now on when we meet a new hero in the MCU. I'm going to point out what is their Save the Cat moment. For those of you who don't know, a Save the Cat moment in storytelling, you want to do something early on in the story that establishes your main character as the hero, right? Because you as a storyteller, you want us to root for your main character, right? So I'm not going to go back and think about what they all are in every MCU movie. In Iron Man, you have, what is one of Iron Man? I have no idea. But Captain America, First Avenger, that one's easy. His save the cat moment where he saves someone for the first time is when it's right after he gets the serum and the Hydra agent throws the little kid in the water and Steve saves him. Right? So, just something like that. But this one where she saves the kid, that was Kamala Khan's save the cat moment. And I really, really love that in the episode. The one thing I think this episode that I thought was a little contrived, and they fixed immediately, which I really like, was when Kamala is like escaping the Department of Damage Control, and immediately Kamran pulls up in his car. I'm like, really? How? Like, does he just have me driving by there? And then it's revealed that Aisha's in the car with him, and it's like, oh, okay, so they just kind of knew, I guess. And by the way, for these first two episodes, I'm not feeling like this show is being rushed. I'm not feeling like this show is being rushed. I actually feel like, in terms of the six episode model, because again, I just rewatch all the shows. Falcon and the Winter Soldier really like did it the best in terms of the pacing of the series. In terms of the six episode ones. I'm feeling these first episodes of Ms. Marvel are really well paced. I hope that this show is maybe a standout of the six episode thing. I really hope it is, where it's like, oh, okay, well, six episode series, they don't usually work, but Ms. Marvel is an exception. And by the way, again, just finished watching Game of Thrones, final season of that show, six episodes, felt incredibly rushed. Don't make your show six episodes long. It does not work. I can guarantee you that all the problems that you have, any legitimate problems that you have with these Disney Plus shows like Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Kenobi, Boba Fett, can be fixed by them adding another episode or two. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say there. So, yeah. Loved Ms. Marvel this week. Oh, my favorite scene in the whole episode was her and Bruno doing the Shazam training. I freaking love that part. Shazam is my favorite DCEU movie. My second favorite DC Comics movie of all time, behind the Batman. Love the Batman. The movie's utterly phenomenal. But Shazam is a close second. I love the Shazam movie. And, you know, it's like that in Spider-Man Homecoming. And Spider-Man Homecoming was just beat out by No Way Home for my favorite MCU film. But yeah, I just really love like coming of age, like a high school superhero story that's done well. I'm not talking about like CW stuff. I'm talking like high quality. Again, stuff like this Spider-Man movies, particularly Homecoming. Actually, the whole trilogy, but Homecoming in particular, that first one, Shazam, Spider-Verse, which you guys know, I've said before, my favorite comic book movie of all time is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's my second favorite movie of all time, second only to The Social Network. So anything that reminds me of Spider-Verse gets thumbs up from me if, you know, the rest of the thing is good. So, yeah, that's, I think, going to do it for Ms. Marvel, this episode. The next episode, the next podcast is going to be a bit shorter because, you know, I did all the news in this one. So, hopefully, I should have some time tomorrow where I can really just get the episode 3 review up, and it'll be good. He's very good. So, yeah, guys, I think that's going to do it for the episode this week for another Marvel podcast. Again, remember, Wednesday, June 22nd is supposed to be the release date of Ms. Marvel episode 3. And I'm about to go record the Tuscan Raider for going to be part 5. Man, that finale really has crept up on us. But that's what happens when you do have a two-episode premiere on a Friday, and the last 4 episodes are all on Wednesdays. You have a show that ends up lasting like 3.5 weeks. But yeah, you know, I've really been enjoying the Obi-Wan ride. So that's always a good thing when you're enjoying the shows that you're watching. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Drew Gratch. See you next time. Laters, gators.